Greetings and welcome to another episode of Theologically Driven, a podcast for those who want to know God through His Word, have that knowledge drive their decisions. This podcast is brought to you by Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary, a seminary devoted to exalting God by expounding His Word. You can learn more at dbts.edu. I'm Ben Edwards, Dean of Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary, and in this episode, we'll be discussing personal and ministry self-evaluation. My guest this week is Dr. David Doran, president of DBTS and senior pastor of Intercity Baptist Church. Dr. Doran, thanks for joining us today.
It's always great to be here.
Now, as we think about the end of the year, we're coming up to New Year's. Often people look back at the previous year and maybe reflect on how things went, and in preparation for the new year, begin to think about what they might want to do differently. Some people make resolutions. And so want to focus a little bit then on both from a personal standpoint and maybe from a ministry standpoint, doing an evaluation. And so as we think about that, why would it be important for someone to do a self-evaluation of their personal family life and or their ministry?
Right. Now, I think two main things. One sort of opens up into a few, but focus is the way I always think about it. I mean, I think all of us can have a tendency to drift because we get busy with everything. And so things that aren't really the most important things can start to occupy our attention, right? We're trying to keep life going. And pretty soon, you know, we're spending a lot of time on things, like the old way of just saying it would be, that might be urgent, but they're not necessarily important. Or sometimes we use the phrase, right, the squeaky wheel gets the grease and or oil, and that's what can happen, right? You start get just you're running with everything, and before you know it, you're not really on the track you intended to be on. So I think it's a good thing to sort of step back, recalibrate, make sure you're giving attention to the things that matter most. And I even think, obviously I'm getting older. Right, I hit 60 this year. I'm about 6 weeks away from finishing my 33rd year here. That I think it's also, I think drift can sometimes you lose propulsion. Right, one of the things that I really wrestled with younger was, you know, if I'm going to be in the same place for a long time, how do I avoid coasting? Because it seems to me, observationally, that guys sometimes don't finish well because they're not trying to push forward as well as they were when they're younger. They're starting to coast a little bit on things, and so I think it's good, you know, just to sort of check that, right? Are we actually still, you know, pushing, or have we started to float? Yeah. You know, and I think, so that's one big part about the drift of it. I think another is, I mean, a long time ago, I came to the conclusion that you can be very busy and not very productive. That especially, I think, in our kinds of positions, hate to be like cliche-ish, but you can start to think activity is actually the measure versus accomplishment. You know, and I saw, I was thankful early in my ministry when I was an assistant pastor, I saw some guys who measured their commitment to the work by how many hours they spent in the office, not necessarily by whether or not they were getting their job done. And I came to the conclusion that it's possible to be, you know, very busy, but not actually productive. And I think that can happen. I mean, just anecdotally, I remember a guy one time, you know, finished a sermon and he told me he'd spent 25 hours on it. And I remember thinking to myself, boy, you probably wasted 15, and not because it was a bad sermon, but it was a pretty simple text. I mean, it couldn't have taken more than an hour or two to figure out what it meant, if that. So 23 hours to write the sermon. What it really probably was somebody chasing down a lot of side trails that, you know, were interesting, but they really weren't necessary. And I remember thinking to myself that that's, you know, that could be really deceptive, self-deceptive, right? That you start to measure your effectiveness by how many hours you spent on something rather than by whether you accomplished the objective you were trying to do. And so I've always found periodic evaluation to be important that way, because I don't want to be confusing those two, right? I'm at least, you know, am I trying to get the most out of it? I mean, there's an old axiom that work expands to fill the time allotted for its completion, right? So if I have 3 hours to get something done, it'll take me 3 hours. If I only had an hour and a half, I might have been able to get the same thing done in an hour and a half. And I think that's true on a micro scale, but also it can be a macro scale, right? It can be, you know, we pick a paper up, work on it for a little bit, and we just sort of set it aside because we don't, you know, we don't have a deadline, right? Or so basically pretty soon we're just not getting things done. And every now and then I think we have to just, you know, honestly take a look and go, you know, am I getting done the things I should be getting done? Not just even as well, right? But, you know, efficiently, effectively, am I making the most of the opportunities I have?
Yeah. And it's really important to think, especially for people who are in ministry, to take the time to look at their lives and their ministries to figure out if they are still maintaining the focus they have, still have the drive, still accomplishing what they need to do. Because there's often not someone else over your shoulder,
right,
looking and making sure. And some jobs you have a yearly evaluation, which your supervisor, you know, looks at what you did over this last year and, right, and kind of walks through and says, hey, this is what you did well, this is what you didn't do well, we need you to do more of this. But often in ministry, you don't have someone like that. And so it's really important to make sure you are taking the time to think through that.
Yes. And the, you know, in a business context, the bottom line is much more clear, mm-hmm, right? I mean, did you sell more items? Did you manufacture more items? You know, are you in the red? Are you in the black? I mean, you know, you've got a lot more objective standards about what success looks like. And I don't think the answer is to force those kinds of standards on ministry, because a lot of those things are outside of our control, right? I don't ever look at a year and go, you know, by how much did our church grow numbers-wise or budget-wise? I'm not looking at it that way. I'm looking at myself and my, you know, what am I fulfilling the things that I'm supposed to be doing? Am I being faithful in those things? Am I using my gifts to the most advantageous way I can? But I think it can be hard, right? Because you can't measure growth, spiritual growth in people in the same way. And I don't think you create artificial ways to do that. So a lot of it does come down to, okay, you know, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Am I doing that well? Am I doing that effectively? Because I'm going to give an account to the Lord for that. I mean, I don't think he's going to care what our Sunday school attendance was or what our budget was. I don't think he is measuring things that way. He does care if I'm using my gifts as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Mm-hmm. He does care if I'm being a trustworthy steward of the mysteries of God. I mean, I have things in scripture that talk about being worthy of double honor because you work hard at preaching and teaching. So am I working hard at preaching and teaching? That's the stuff I care about.
Yeah. And it's very important to make sure that you are seeking to live in such a way that the Lord would be pleased and you'd, right, be honoring him in that. So if that's why it's so important for us to be doing these kinds of evaluations, what exactly are we doing when we're doing the evaluations? What are we looking for?
Right. That's a great question. And I sort of talked over the second. The second reason why I do it is because of prayer and praise, right? I mean, I do want to look back over the year and see the things for which I should give God thanks and praise and be reminded of those things. And also, there may be things I need to repent over. And I want to take time to do that and not just have every day bleed into the next day. And so that's important.
And let me just say any honest evaluation is going to have both of those.
Right.
Right. You're going to have things in which you look back and say, praise the Lord for this, and I need to grow. And that way, hopefully, it's not just a matter of, man, everything was terrible.
Right.
Or there's nothing wrong.
Right.
You're looking for both of those.
And each of us are wired differently as to which of those stand out most to us, right? I mean, for myself, honestly, I often have to make the list of the things that went well because my mind tends to focus on, the other side of it. So I need to step back and say, Lord, thank you for all that you did do. Help me not to miss those things. Other people might be inclined to, not look at their failures as much and need to slow down to do that, right? So yeah, it can be either way. So the basic things for me is I do a review of the year, right? So I want to look over the year and sort of think through highlights and lowlights and do a quick catalog, so to speak, of those things so that I'm not missing it. And sometimes that becomes a very good thing. Like, I just in prep for this, I went back and looked at some old ones, and it's usually a nice summary of sort of what the year was like, opportunities that I had and that God, God gave me and things that were accomplished and also some reminders of struggles, right? That's the year we had to walk through this challenge. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, in some senses, it becomes a summary of your journal, really, in many ways. It depends on how active you are about journaling, but it does become a good journal or diary about that.
Now, would you look through a journal that you've kept or maybe a personal or ministry calendar to kind of jog your memory for those things?
At times, yes. Okay. Yeah. So, it depends. I mean, I honestly, I'm sort of a sporadic journaler. I mean, there are periods where I do it as a discipline to try and force me to do that. But I do go back through the ministry things. And sometimes what I'll do is my prayer list is a good help because, I usually have, like anything significant coming up at church, I've got that down as a prayer request or outside speaking opportunity or conferences we're doing here. I have those down and I'm praying for them in advance. And so lots of times all I have to do is just pull out my prayer list and I can see some of the things that were the highlights or things that were, issues of concern that I had been praying for. And that's a good thing for me. I review what may have been goals or desires for the year, right? So, what did I hope would be accomplished in this year? And then sort of take a look at that. did we make progress on some of those things? Did we, what did I miss the mark on? Trying to get a feel for how that went. I will try to review some growth and struggles in my own life, what were things the Lord, was teaching me, things that were of value and where did I, where did I struggle this year with issues, that, I may need to focus on. And maybe I wasn't as disciplined about some aspect of growth that I wanted to be, I'd set out to do, a persistent failure there is scripture memory, just beyond, I always have great intentions at the beginning of the year and and I tend not to meet the goals, which is partly overshooting, right? So there is, you know, it can be something as simple as that, or like the journaling thing, right? I want to try and journal, and then I look and go, all right, you did well for this period of the year, then you didn't, and then you got back at it, and you know, so it can be things like that, or other things that you just need to have a pulse on, because you want to be growing spiritually. And then I try to look at, I hate to say it this way, but performance. I mean, what do I feel like, I did well in fulfilling my responsibilities? What may have been weaknesses over the past 12 months that I need to recognize and perhaps take steps to correct. So that's sort of like the year review kind of thing. And these are not completely separate from each other, but they sort of do, you know, they do, I think, flow in this way, right? So that I use the calendar, so to speak. But then, and this presupposes you have this, right? So this is the part that might not work for other people, right? I'm sort of big on having, at least in framework, what your purpose is, right? And so,
like a personal mission statement,
right? And for church, right? Yeah. So I mean, we talked about it a couple episodes ago or whatever, that philosophy of ministry. I mean, it's always, I actually started back in college in a course on philosophy of education. That I really got bit with the bug of trying to think through philosophy of, why are you doing this? What's supposed to be going on? And so, for myself, I've tried to nail down what I think it is that would be, the things that should matter most, right? So, one way of looking at it is, you clearly work out from your roles and responsibilities. So, I mean, I could, and I don't always do it the same way, because I think sometimes you have to do it fresh to, sort of probe your heart on it. But, sitting down and looking at what my roles are and what responsibilities those roles entail, that I've actually worked through in the past, with some clarity, what I would say is biblical basis for them, right? So like, I'm not going to unpack it all, but I mean, there's seven of them that I have.
For you individually.
Right. So basically, I've got seven categories that I have biblical support for, and then two or three key ideas connect to those that should be showing up in my life. So at any point, I can look at that and I can look at my life and go, are these things lined up, right? And I can look at this and go, all right, how did I do over the last 12 months in actually putting this into practice? So it's not just like on paper.
And so that might be, I'm a husband, and so what are my responsibilities? Or I am a father, or I am a pastor. Or the other kind of categories.
So some of those family ones would all be under one category.
All under family, right? Responsibilities.
Well, so it would be, I hate to start unpacking, but the top one is for, in my life as a pastor, I'm supposed to be an example, right? And that means my personal life, my marriage, my family life, should be living up to God's truth about that, right? So I'd have sort of probing questions about those in that area, right? Then the rest would start to unpack other elements of where God's placed me in terms of roles and responsibilities. Honestly, you can, could be like a gigantic Russian stacking doll that you keep unpacking to smaller and smaller levels. But that's one way to do another, that I've always taught in terms of how people would identify via wisdom, what should be sort of the focus of their life, right? So, again, it's D's in this case, right? God's, your God-given design, what are the gifts and abilities he's given you, the kind of person he's made you. What duties do you have? What doors has he opened up for you? What desires are in your heart, right? So sometimes I step back and I just start to reflect on those. And that's where I'd say the drift issue, right? So am I getting pulled away from things that are actually my giftedness? Because it's possible for someone, you know, not to be really gifted in an area, but they've got responsibilities. And they're actually finding themselves for some reason way outside of what they're gifted to do. And they need to step back and go, okay, how do I resolve this? Right? What do I need to do maybe as a leader to make sure the thing that I'm concerned about is getting done, but by somebody who can do it better than me? Right? Because that's not the way God has gifted me. I should have a sense of the gifts he's given me and the desires he's placed in my heart and try the best I can to make those the main thing in my life. I'm going to have to always do things that, you know, are maybe not in my sort of strength area, but I think a lot of people can spend time consumed with areas in which they're weak because those take longer, or they're trying to fix it, right? They're like, okay, I can't be weak in this area. So they're spending all their time, you know, trying to fix that weakness instead of going, you know, why am I not focusing on the strengths that God's given me? I mean, you know, I need to think that way. I mean, it's probably not a good analogy to go from spiritual gifts to sports, but you know, it'd be like somebody who they're a phenomenal 3-point shooter, right? And they're going to spend all their time working on rebounding. And it's like, well, yeah, you should be be able to grab a rebound once in a while, but if you let your 3-point shooting go, so that you can become a better rebounder, and you're, you know, 6'2", what good's that going to do, right? Let the guy who's 6'10 take care of the rebounding. You focus on getting better at what you need to be better at, what your strength is, what your contribution is. And you know, if you're getting to pick the team, find somebody who can rebound, mm-hmm. right? That's, you know, I think it's a decent analogy because the church is a body with different parts and different gifts. And if a pastor thinks he's the man and he has to do everything and he's got to be good at everything, then I think he's got a wrong view of the body. So sometimes it really is coming back and going, you know, I spent a ton of time this year that I laboring in an area where I'm just not that good. And there are other people who aren't, and I need to humble myself and say, hey, can you take this? Can you do this?
In some ways, that's what the apostles did in Acts 6 and right. saying, you know, this is an important thing and someone needs to take care of these widows' needs, but it's not going to be us.
Right.
Because we have other responsibilities and giftedness that we've got to focus on.
Right. And I say in homiletics, when I teach it, you know, if you think about it, saying no to widows, given what we know in Scripture, right, James 1 about visiting widows and orphans in their affliction, and the social dynamic of that, that was a tough call on their part. The downside potentially of saying, hey, we're not going to give our strength to that task. We have to give our strength to this other task, right? If they were people pleasers, are concerned about what people would think about them, they might never have done that. But they actually, in the text, clearly indicate that it's good in the sight of the Lord, really, is what they're saying. I mean, we know what the Lord wants us to do because we've been given this charge to take on this ministry. So because of their certainty about what Jesus wanted them to do, they were willing to risk potentially not pleasing some people and even significant and important ministry things. And I think sometimes that can be a hurt to us. And that's why we need to evaluate. Have I picked up things that I'm doing for possibly the wrong reasons, right? Because I don't want people to think something about me, or I'm trying to make somebody happy. And I hadn't intended to say this, but I put this shot in there that that's where I think problems can come at home, right? Because then, you know, if guys are taking on more than they should because they're worried about what people think about them, the people who tend to lose out in that equation are the wife and the kids, right? Because the husband's either assuming the wife will go with it, or the kids can, you know, can figure it out, because they don't, you know, they don't exercise a vote. They're not going to be the cause of the problem in the church. So people tend to start to neglect their family to keep people happy. And because keeping them happy has added things to their responsibility, like barnacles on the ship. Right. And so they know they need to do the thing they're supposed to do, but now they've added other stuff to it. And the thing that can suffer is sometimes their personal walk with the Lord, but marriage and family. And I think that's why sometimes you got to step back and scrape the barnacles off. Right. I don't need to be doing this. This is the thing that I must be doing. I've got to give my attention to.
And at times there might, in a sense, be the opposite issue, in which you actually have a duty you need to be doing, but you just are doing what you want to do all the time. And,
correct.
And what your desires and giftedness, but you actually have a responsibility you're neglecting. And that, and again, having an honest self-evaluation might raise that issue as well.
Absolutely. Because we do, you know, we can start to gravitate toward our comfort zone, right? I think people are surprised sometimes when I say it, but I tilt toward the introvert side. So that means I'm more comfortable alone than with people. So if I'm with people a bunch, I need to find alone time, right? But that can mean sometimes, particularly guys, if they're wired for study or whatever, they can love to be with their books, mm-hmm. and can then justify an imbalance. Right. That would be my 25-hour sermon thing is, you know, who's going to criticize spending a lot of time studying for sermons? Well, obviously I am. But I mean, the reality of it is you can
easily wrap that in piety. Very
right.
Easily.
And you could justify it. Right. I've got to study. And it's like, well, yes, you do. But you also have other things that you have to do. And are you getting those other things done? Because I don't think we can pit God. We can't pit God-given responsibilities against each other, right? We need to fulfill them to the best of our ability, doing what we're responsible for and leaving God to give the results, right? We focus on our responsibilities.
Any other suggestions for how someone might go about doing an evaluation like this?
Yeah. So here's what I would encourage, right? Is you need to set aside time to do it. And I think that, you know, what I think is it needs to be undisturbed time. And I think you need to probably have it long enough to get to the core stuff, right? Because in some senses, you got to sort of peel away the easily identified stuff and the distraction stuff. At least for me, this is probably not good to go with the Star Wars analogy, but that's my era, right? There's a scene in the original trilogy where Luke Skywalker goes into the cave in Dagobah, right, to face his fears and wrestle through all that stuff. And I think actually it's not a bad analogy if you're really trying to step away. If you're really going to do what I'm talking about, it's going to be dark for a while. If you're really going to evaluate your life and ministry and be honest before the Lord about it, it's going to lead to some sting and wrestling through, and that, unless you've got designated time set aside to do it, you'll keep turning away from it, right? Because we don't like to look in the mirror when we don't like what we see. And I would think you will inevitably see some failures over the course of a year that or some gaps, right? That you set out to close a gap and you didn't even make much progress on it. And so you've got to be willing to work through that. I personally feel like it's good to get a way to do it. You know, if you're in the same, I usually can't do it well in my office because all of the stuff that I have to do is there, right? So I usually need to go find a place where all I have to do is what I'm going there to do, right? So I've prepared for it. I've got the materials I need. So I can do the evaluation. I can work through the stuff. I just take that and I go, whether I've done it, I've done it anywhere from like, my in-laws have a cabin up north to lots of times this is an advantage I have because of the ministries we've got. I've got something I can do at some place and I'll plan a day or two after it. And so I kill two birds with one stone, that kind of a thing, or I can set up something to, work it out. But even if it's just being in a different place with only that on the agenda, tends to be a fresh, fresh environment and a focus to really, I'm here for this purpose and this person alone, purpose alone. So, I get all the documents I need that I will want access to, things that I'm going to do. If I go into a place, I tend to if I'm going to be staying in a hotel or even, right, I will go, first thing I'll do is I'll go buy, enough supplies to lock in, so I'll live on, I literally go buy a loaf of bread, peanut butter and jelly and a thing of bananas. And I've got breakfast, lunch and dinner and water bottles to drink. And so I don't have to go out to eat. I don't have to do anything. I can just focus there. I usually will take some stuff for exercise, right? Like usually like sweats and t-shirt and, shoes that I need. And so I'll go for a jog or a walk just to clear my head, go for a walk in the morning or evening, listen to a sermon, do whatever while I'm doing that. Just so it's got to do something to break up. Mm-hmm. Break up the thing. And then, I make sure I secure the commitments I need, so my wife knows exactly where I'm going, what I'm doing, which means I'm going to be sort of out of the loop and either until late at night or whatever. Staff wise, everything, if you've got people who might be looking for you, they know where you are and they know you're not going to be disturbed, kind of a thing. Have to be emergency kind of a scenario. And then I try to really set the schedule. I mean, I literally like write up hour by hour schedule of what area I'm going to focus on and what I want to do. And then try and hold myself accountable to that because I don't want it to just drift. Mm-hmm. It's normally my pattern when I'm staying in a hotel. I never turn on the TV, but especially when I go on a thing like this, it's like nothing, no distraction that would be a temptation for me to, sit down and watch a game or whatever when I should be doing it. Cause I'm going to try to go from, from sun up to sundown with breaks only being what I want them. Have something to eat, get some exercise. And then I think the big thing is on the end, is make sure you write up sort of a report and then what commitments you're making coming out of it or potentially what next steps, right? So it may be, all right, if we're going to really go, if I'm going to change in this area or if our church is going to go forward in this area, here's some things that need to be done. And so I come out of it you know, with next steps that are going to be going on to try and make it as fruitful as possible.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Dorn, for your time here. And I hope this was a help to you for listening, encourage you maybe at this time of year to try to do something like this and to really be proactive in determining whether or not you're doing what you need to be doing in order to properly serve your Lord. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love for you to share it with others who might benefit. You can find out more about our podcast or Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary at dbts.edu. We look forward to our next time together. Until then, keep seeking the Lord.